Okay. Good afternoon, Tzoraim Tovim. Before we start, I always like to make dedications and Zeche Nishmat. And I think Steve knew this gentleman, I'm sure, from Chashmonaim, somebody called Mervyn Warner, my brother. He passed away, and it was the Yortzeit this last week. Yortzeit was a year. A very good friend of, very sweet guy, and very good friend of mine who, I was the generation in Gateshead of the 70s, and he was in the generation of Gateshead in the late 50s. So we always used to share stories, and the only problem I had with him is that he was from Scotland, and I said to him all the time, I said, you've got to walk around with subtitles, because I don't understand a word you're saying. And if I could understand it, what the American population did with him, I really don't know. But saying that, he was a wonderful sense of humor, very, very tired, and his memory should be for a blessing.
Always a smile.
Very, very special man. Okay, we are going to do a couple of things today. We're going to look at Perek Chet. As I said last week or the week before, there's a lot of symbolism in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And I'm not going to go through everything that we have to read here of chapters. I did the end of Perek Vav or the whole of Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin is more about his own palace and a lot of stuff there as well. And I hope that you'll take the time just to read it through.
If you're standing, they have to be able to see you.
Let's shrug it. Hello, shrug. And again, as we said last week, we spoke about the Kruvin. And I tried to introduce that little bit of symbolism, because at least on one thing we can get a little bit of a message, and we saw in the Tziv, the HaMikdavah, and his commentary, and again, there's much more to say, but I want to focus on Perek Chet. Perek Chet is, we're going to literally deal with two issues, well, essentially three issues, but two and a half. The first issue is the Tfilot of Shlomo. Shlomo, when he opens the Beit HaMikdash, is absolutely magnificent. This is, without doubt, the zenith. My teacher is called the zenith. He was from Ireland, so he had a different pronunciation. The zenith of the of Shlomo's career. And as you'll see, if you look at Perek Chet, Shlomo, after he's finished all the preparations and he gets everybody together, and of course they're doing thousands of korbanot, that's Shlomo's style, he makes these tefillot, which really are very, very beautiful tefillot. I just want to give a little bit of a taster. What we will focus on is his amazing, really amazing tefillah towards the nations of the world. There is something about the Beit HaMikdash which has not got through to the nations around us. Right? A lot of politics exists around the Har HaBayit. Every time somebody goes near it or sneezes near the Har HaBayit, the whole Arab world goes into complete craziness, and it's a very big shame for the wider world that they don't understand what we are about to learn. Because we're going to see something here which is unbelievable. At the end, if we get a chance today, or maybe next week, we'll deal with the conundrum, the Yom Kippur conundrum, right at the end of chapter 8. But as I said, I just want to show you a little bit of the flavor of Perek Chet, and just to take you to, just a second. Yeah, Pasuk Yud Bet, chapter 8, verse 12. And again, if you have the, if you don't have the book, and if you have your smartphone, Safaria, it's all there in blazing black and white. Alright, so you've got chapter 8, verse 12, Pasuk Yud Bet, and there's a word here which I may have mentioned before, but I always find very significant. Perek Chet, Pasuk Yud Bet. Az Amar Shlomo. Az. This word, Az, is a very short word, and in English it's a very boring translation. Then, right? That's how we know it. Az Yashir Moshe. Then Moses sang. But the reality is, I always find Az is used at a moment of incredible historical significance. Az Yashir Moshe is obvious, right? The moment when they cross the Red Sea, the Egyptians are gone, time to sing. You have it in with Yoshua, also Az, when the miracle of the sun standing still, if I'm not mistaken, if you look there, Perek Yud in Sefer Yoshua. You have it later on, we're going to point it out, with Shlomo, unfortunately, in the other direction. Because, if again, I'll just maybe quote it to you, it's chapter 11, when Shlomo does not stop the women from serving idols, if I'm not mistaken. The word ours is also used over in chapter 11. Let's just see. I think it's there. Just give me 1 second, and we'll see.
Pasuk 7.
7, there you go. Pasuk 7, chapter 11, 11:7. Ours Yivne Shlomo Bama. And that, of course, is a historical moment, but unfortunately in the wrong direction. Right? Because there he is accused of building, or as the Chazal tried to as you say in Yiddish, they tried to explain it, that is, he didn't stop the women building. So Kehilu, he is complicit, and he built a Bamalik Mosh, which we're going to deal with. How could he even contemplate doing such a thing? You know, this is Shlomo HaMelech, but Mr. Shem will come to all of that. So, as I want to point out, Az is a very powerful word. Whenever you see the word Az, you know something incredible is happening, and here is, again, obvious. Pasuk Yud Bet. Az Amar Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkon Barafel. Right? This is the beginning of Shlomo's dedication to the Beit HaMikdash. And it upsets me. This is a tefillah which is not well known. Right? When we talk about tefillah in Tanakh, everybody asks, I was teaching girls for 21 years, they all tell you tefillah Tchana, you know, and some of them even knew a bit of it by heart. Tefillah Shlomo, not so well known. But look at this. Az Amar Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkon Barafel. God spoke, the Lord said, he will dwell in the cloud. But no, Baniti Beit Zavulach. And Shlomo says, I built a magnificent dwelling for you, Mechon Neshivtecha Olamim, a place where you can dwell forever. V'yaseva Melech Et Panam V'yivarim Kol Kahal Yisrael. Then he turned to the Jews, V'chol Kahal Yisrael Omein. Everybody was standing there. Magic moment. King is standing and he's gonna speak to the Jewish people. The State of the Union, par excellence. This is on steroids. This is. V'yom, and he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Diber B'Piv Eit David Avi. He spoke to my father David B'Yodom Milei Lamar. And then he goes into a whole thing of that, of a historical nature, and about how David was not allowed to build the temple, and how he has been so blessed and so privileged to complete the mission of his father David. We mentioned, I just again want to point out, I'm sort of jumping around, the end, just the end of chapter 7, just one Rashi, which I was going to say before I began this, but I forgot to mention it, where he talks about the treasures of David were not used, the money that David set aside, the gold, the silver, everything that he had to build the temple was put away. And Rashi just points out, the last Rashi on chapter 7, Rashi chapter 7 verse 51, I'll just read it very quickly, not going to read the whole Rashi, Medrash Agadah, from the Medrash, Shelo Ratzah Shlomo Latet Meoto Hektish Lebinyan Abayim. Shlomo did not want to use the money that David had set aside for the temple, and the question is why? And I just want to bring this, because we mentioned it before, but without a source, and this is the source. V'shamati mehachmei Yisrael. Interesting, the Rashi said, I heard from the wise men of Israel, without quoting who it's from, Shehayu Omrim Lefi Shaya Yudea Shesofo Lecharet. Right, that Shlomo knew, unfortunately, the temple's not going to last. Shloyu Aku Moimrim, they didn't want the non-Jews to say, Kasheh, Kasheh Yiratam, how severe is their God, Shelokhu Nikmatam in Abayit, Shenivne Min HaGzeilot B'Chavulah. Must be because the money was stolen. That's why the head temple was destroyed, because it was built on, unfortunately, not kosher money. Who did the stealing, David? So Shlomo said, I didn't want the non-Jews to have that in their arsenal of propaganda against the Jews. And Rashi brings another opinion. Shlomo, this is Shlomo's thought process here, not to use David's money. He says, there was a famine, we know, right at the end of Shavuot Bet. Shalosh Shanim, 3 years. Shana after Shana, year after year, Vayolo the Bazbesak, in other words, he should have used the money, but stock it. He should have taken the money out of the storage and given it to the poor people who were knocking on his door. Halolu, Hakdesh, Halolu, Lachyot, Behemani Yisrael. So the money, again, in the eyes of Shlomo, was not suitable to be used for building the Beit HaMikdash. Very interesting. And again, very fascinating that, you know, with everything that we know about David HaMelech, there's all these kind of caveats and question marks, and this one is a really interesting thing, and it's certainly more to say, again, if you follow up on the Gemaras on this, you'll see there's a lot of development on this point, but I just wanted to bring the Rashi, because, as I said, we mentioned the idea before. Have a look at this. We're going to just go back to this Tefillah, chapter 8, 1, verse 16. Min ha'yom asher hoceiti et ami et Yisroel, I took the Jews out of Egypt. Lo bacharti ba'ir, at that point the city wasn't chosen yet. We know because you take Yisroel. Livnot ba'ir to build a house. Liyot shmi sham. Ve'evcha ve'david liyot al ami Yisroel. David was chosen to be the king. Ve'ehim levav David avi, and then it was in his heart of my father. Livnot ba'ir to shem Hashem v'kei Yisroel to build a house. Ve'yom asher David avi yan ashayom levavcha livnot ba'ir shmi. God said to David, you wanted to build a house, then hetivota, you did good, ki haya im levecho, to follow your heart, what you wanted, rak ata lo timna habay, but you're not going to do it. Ki im bincha hayotzei mechalatzecha, only your son, who you now abide in shmi, and Shlomo's very well aware, he had this responsibility on his shoulders from day one, and he knew about it, and he talks about it, and of course the whole question is, why wasn't David allowed? The obvious answer everybody knows is that his hands were full of blood. Man of war cannot build a house of peace. One of the answers, without going into the whole background, is an interesting answer, which I saw, based, I think, on Divrei Yomim, where it says that David, if he would have built the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem would have come to destroy the temple, all the Jews, and the temple would have been so imbued with holiness, Chas V'Chalila, it would have meant the destruction of Am Yisrael. If David had built the Beit HaMikdash, the temple would have stood and the people would have gone. And I compare it, those who have been to Poland will know this, the building in Lublin. The Lublin Rav, the Ramesh Shapiro, took, I don't know how many years to collect the money to build this incredible, the effort that went into it. And he died at the age of 47, so he didn't have a lot of time to collect the money. In 1929, they put up this building. You go there, the building's still there. Try and find one Jew in Lublin and you really struggle. Very, very difficult. Maybe now there's a minion there, I don't know, but when I was there a number of years ago, no, there was hardly any Jews in the whole place. Building, unbelievable, magnificent building, but no Jews. And it sort of reminded me of what we're talking about here. Sometimes you put so much effort into the building, and if there's a gezeira, God forbid, against Am Yisrael, something's got to go. So the idea here was clearly David was not going to build the Beit HaMikdash. That was the decision. And then he goes into a whole discussion, and again he posted kaf bed. And I'm sorry, I'm just jumping around, but Yamon Shlomo lifnei Yizbach Hashem Negekol Kalis. After the introduction of why he's built it, not his father, he stands there. Beifros kapov shemaim. He spreads his hands to the heaven. Vayomar, this is unbelievable. I mean, imagine being there. It's like incredible. Vayomar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ein Kamocha Lehim B'Shemayim Ma'al V'La'oretz Mitacha Shomer HaBrit V'Chesed. I mean, beautiful. The guardian of the covenant, Lavodecha, Olchim Lefanecha B'Cholibam, of the people who follow you with the heart. Asher Shomar Talav Dechad David. And again, all revolving around David, and he goes on, and it is magnificent. And again, I leave this for you to read, because, you know, it's just overwhelming the way that he presents all of this Tefillah, Techinah, this application to God. It goes on. I just want to take you to a bit further along, because part B of his fantastic tefillah, which is truly amazing, is starting at verse 39. And that's why I do want to focus on the psukim more closely. He said something which, of course, we understand that the Beit HaMikdash is the place where we can bring all of our requests of God in times of trouble, in times of famine. You know, this is very, very serious stuff for everybody. Certainly in those days, and even today, we know that, you know, halavai, we can bring our requests, our requirements to a certain place, and it will be answered. Wow. You know, imagine what a different world that would be. And he then, amazingly, verse 39, he says to God, you're hearing in the heaven, and you will forgive. Anyone who comes to present their request to you will be answered. Ki ata yadata levadachad levav kol b'nei adam. You know the heart of man. Leman yiru'ucha kol hayamim. They'll fear you all the days. She'em chayim al p'nei adama. Asher natata levatenim. On the land which you gave to our fathers. If you come with sincerity to the Beit HaMikdash and you follow the prescription of always being close to God and following the mitzvot, etc., then Shlomo says it's a slam dunk. You're coming, you score the goal, you're in. Now he goes off on a tangent, and what a tangent. Memar, v'gam la nochri, and now I want to address the rest of the world. Nochri. Here, the foreign, as he translated, the stranger. Asher lo me'amcha yisrael, it's not Jewish. And I want to give a message to the whole world. Right? CNN is fine, they're listening here. Umba me'eretz v'chokal aman shemecha, they're coming a long way. You go to around Jerusalem, for instance, on Sukkot, you'll see fundamental Christians coming from all over the world.
Tabernacles is big. The Chag of Sukkot is
major. Right? And they're up there on Har HaZeitim, and they're all around. There's a number of buses around taking people around. And the people from Japan, I forgot what they're called, they do their march through Yerushalayim. Unbelievable people. Unbelievable. And this is something very special. But listen to this. Pasuk Membet. Ki yishmu et shimcha gadol. They will hear your great name. This is talking about the nations of the world. Et yadcha chazakav zrachan utuyah. Phrases that we know now. We're just hearing about all of this in terms of the Haggadah, which is based on what we're learning at the moment in Chumash, in Parsha, and your strong arm, your strong hand, your outstretched arm, Ubavit palel abayit hazeh, they'll come and daven here, Ata tishma hashamayim, mechon shiktech, you'll hear in the heaven, v'yasita kechol asher yikrai lecha nochri, and you'll do whatever he asks you. Wow. L'man yidun kol amei ha'aretz, everyone will know, Es shemecha your name, liyirotcha kimkamcha Yisrael, to fear you like your people Israel, v'ladad kishimcha nikra labayit hazeh asher baniti, and your name is on this house. Basically, what he's saying, in very simple terms, is the following. As a Jew, if I go to the Beit HaMikdash, I pray to Hashem, and I'm told Hashem's listening, but I've got to follow a certain prescription, I've got to follow a certain presentation. If I come to God and I'm hypocritical in my life and I get away with it and I can try and fool God, on the outside I look so religious, on the inside maybe not so much, not a good way to go to Hashem, and you won't be heard. The non-Jew turns up and it says without any requirement, without any preamble, he says what he wants and God will answer his tefillah according to Shlomo's prayer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The question is, why do they get such a free, almost a free pass? But we don't. And this is what he's saying. I mean, if you read it, you see exactly what's going on. And he goes on a little bit about it. I'm not going to do all the psukim exactly, but you'll see, in fact, Rashi spells it out. If you look at Rashi or Mem Gimel, Rashi says, "B'chol asher yikra lecha anochri," everything that the non-Jew calls to you, you will listen. Will be Israel who omem and atata leisha b'chol derachah. When it comes to the Jew, it's got to be according to his derech, his behavior. The fish is Israel makir b'kodesh baruch hu. The Jews recognize God. V'yodea sheyicholet b'yado. They know what God is capable of doing. V'im ein tefilato nishma tolet adavah b'atzmo. And he realizes if Hashem doesn't answer it because I'm lacking, the Jew will understand. And I sinned, I should have been a better person. When the non-Jew turns up, Kore Tagar Omer, he'll have a complaint. He says, this is the temple which we heard about from right around the world. And it Yagati the Kamat Rachim, he took me, I had to change in Bangkok and then I had to change in who knows where until I got here. But Ubati bin Palalti Bana Daman here, says the non-Jew. Below Matsati Bo Mamash. And there's nothing here. Kishem Shay Mamash Babon Ginilim. And he'll say, just like my temple at home. Leficha, therefore, in order to counteract that, Kahola Sheikrai Lecha Akum, Shlomo says, whatever the non-Jew requests, he will be answered. Abu Yisrael Imatem Ro'eh Shehu Mashchit B'mono Etcha Beirah Titeno. Interesting comment, even. If you see a Jew acting badly towards his friend, swindling, cheating, and all the rest of it, then Al Titenlo, do not grant his request. The non-Jew gets the request. Unbelievable. I want to show you this piece.
There has to be a conditional on that, surely.
Well, you'll see. Have a look at this. It really is unbelievable.
It's basically promoting monotheism.
And it's a very monotheistic place, and, you know, they come along. Just the amazing sincerity of that group that comes on Sukkot is breathtaking. They are truly breathtaking.
You know, Shlomo is promoting monotheism. Yeah. Saying, they don't get what they're supposed to get from their gods. They'll come here, they'll get from you, and they'll believe in
but
you.
But they can come with every, you know, vice that they have. There's no requirement for them. There's no concept of tshuva in their world.
The only difference would be they've actually made the effort to come.
One respects the effort to come, absolutely. You'll see this in a second, because the question is, where in the end of the day does Shlomo get this from? Right? You know, he's making a bold statement that the non-Jews are going to always be answered by God. Where's he getting it from? He's got to have a makor, like we say, you know, in the Gemara. Where does the Amora get it from if it's not from the Tanaim? Where does the Tanaim get it from? It's not from the early generation, or maybe even from the Sukkim. You've got to find a source.
Why is it a statement? It's a request.
Sorry?
It's a request. It's not necessarily a statement.
But even to make this offer, if you want to call it that, he's got to get it from somewhere. And look at this. I found this sefer, and I'm not in sort of here to promote Sforin that much, but this I found a very nice sefer, and he's got a bit of a connection to my old alma mater in Gateshead. He seems to have been learned there. A guy from Antwerp, Shlomo, can't even pronounce his name, Golovinshitz. He's Zurenburg Strasse, if anyone knows Antwerp. No idea what that is. I've been to Antwerp, I don't know which road it's in. A beautiful sefer, Sig V'Siach Manavim. On the, I would say, the yeshivish side of the world, it's certainly coming from that olam, but he's written something here which I think is really fabulous. And I'm not going through the whole piece up here, but I want to share it with you because it is beautiful, and I hope it makes the staying around after lunch worthwhile. Listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is section A. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi of the Talmud. Ilu hayu yodin umot olam. If the nations of the world would know, ma beit hamikdash yafeh lehem, how incredible the temple would be for them, then kastoriot mivtzarim, it means they would surround, right, make a mivtzar. Hayu makifim oto, they would surround the temple kedei l'shomro, to guard it. They certainly would not make our lives incredibly crazy if we went near the temple like they do at the moment. Shaya yafeh lahem yoter mima shaya lafeh Yisrael. It was better for them, the Beit Mikdash, according to what we're learning, than it was for the Jews. Amazing. Shekach Shlomo sideh b'tfilato, because Shlomo says, just read it, v'gam el anochri asher lo me'am Yisrael, even the non-Jew, who, etc., v'yosita kachol asher yikra elecha anochri, he says, I'm making a promise, Hashem will do what you call out to him for, you know, whatever you want. Aval kashehu ba'esa Yisrael, marketed when it comes to the Jew, what does it say? When atata le'ish b'chol derachav, then there's a means test, as it were, in terms of spiritual standing. Where are you in your ways? Hashem tidat levavo, he'll examine your heart, right? You know, in the deepest sense, Hashem knows what people are really all about. Omar Shlomo, Ribbon Olamim, unbelievable. Shlomo says, Master of the world, im hu ra'ui titeno, if he's worthy, grant him his request. Bimeinu ra'ui al titeno, if he's not worthy, the Jew, then you don't grant him. Lefish Yisrael makila kodesh baruch hu, etc., etc. I'm going to go to the next paragraph, because the question that this Rav asks is, where on earth did Shlomo get this concept that it would be better for the nations of the world to come to the temple in Jerusalem than it will be for the Jews. Amazing statement. So look at this. I'll give you a number of options. The second paragraph, still section A, begins with the middle of the page for Ayin Barashi. He quotes here from Rashi, from the story of the brachot of Esau. Well, Esau did not get, and what Yaakov received. Ala pasuk v'yitin lecha lekim itala shemay mishmanei haaretz. We know the pasuk shekatav. It says ma'u elokim badin. Right, kim is used there, the concept of justice, of midat hadin. Im ra'u lecha yitain lecha. If you're worthy, it'll be good. V'im lav lo yitain lecha. If you're not, no good. Aval le'esav amar. What did he say to Esau? Mishmanei ha'aretz yeh moshavecha. Bein tzaddik, bein rasha. Unbelievable. Esau, he doesn't have to be a righteous individual. He can be a rasha. Yitein lecha, you'll still get his request. Wow. Umimenu lomad Shlomo. So that's source number one. He learned from Esau. Kesha'asav habayit, when he made the temple, sideh tfilato, Yisrael shubal emunat, a Jew who's a man of faith, umatzik alav adin, and he knows how to express the judgment of God. Lo yikra lecha tagar, he won't have complaints if he doesn't get answer. Lefichah, because he realizes, I'm not worthy. Menotata le'ish kedracham, asher tidad levavo, because God knows the heart of man. Aval nochri mechusa amona, but the non-Jew doesn't have that faith in God. Lefichah ka'ata tishma shamayim, you'll hear the non-Jew with his supplication to you. V'yasita kechol asher yikra lecha nochri, and you will listen to him and grant his request. Bein ra'o, unbelievable. Bein ra'oi, bein she'ein ra'oi. Whether he's worthy or not. Ten lo kadei shelo yikra alecha tagai. Then he won't have any complaints. He'll go, he'll make his request, everything is good. This Rav does give a little bit of a discussion here, but I want to go down to section B. Because this is, again, another source. Who would have known this, right? It's coming from the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha of Davids died in 1926. There was an amazing rabbi in London who I had the privilege of studying with. He was a dying Michael Fisher. Chol Fisher was the head of the Federation Beit Din in London. And a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. He studied in Radin. And he mentioned, I think, as a very young child, he said he remembered the Tsar of Russia when he was 2 years old. That's pretty amazing, right? And the Tsar was killed in 1980. So, he was around a long time, this rabbi. He lived into his 90s. But what he did mention is that as a very young child, he was in Davids. And he met both the Meshech Chochma, his father was also a very great rabbi, and he took him to the Meshech Chochma, and I think he also took him to the Rogachov, just to hedge your bet. Meshech Chochma, a good Lithuanian, Rogachov, a good Chabad. So you had you covered all the bases, basically, and both of them, incredible gaon, amazing. So he quotes it from the Meshech Chochma, the Rameh Simcha of Davids, the following source. The same question, where did Shlomo get this idea that for non-Jews, it's much easier to make a request of God? Right? Again, I don't know whether we should announce it. I don't know whether the people should know this. It's a complicated political question to answer, but I don't know. I'll leave it for the people to work that one out. Listen to this. But I, Meshech Chochma, last three lines. Shemechadesh, Sheolai HaMakor, he's talking here, Devarim, right at the end, in the writing end of his commentary on Torah, that maybe the source of Tefillah Moshe Shlomo, the prayer of Shlomo, binyan zeh regarding the non-Jew, who mehod ichtib bebirkat Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zvulun. Go figure. Moshe gave the following blessing to the tribe of Zvulun. Amim har yikro, shom yisbechu zivchei tzedek. The people will call to the mountain. You can see what's going on there. The mountain meaning the mountain of Har Moriah. And there they will offer zivchei tzedek, offerings of righteousness. So what's going on? Pshuta shom mikro kedepirish Rashi, shamim hakavana l'shitei Yisrael. Seems to be referring to the Jews. She'yasu l'har Moriah, they'll go to Mount Moriah. V'sham yisbechu b'raglef v'ragolim sh'nivchei tzedek, they'll go on the Yontov, they'll bring their sacrifices, everything fine and dandy. Or maybe Rashi, however, Rashi brings another interpretation, as Sifri over there. She'amim ha'yikro ha'kavana, what does it mean they'll call to the mountain? She'al yidei pragmatia she'al zavunim. Zavunim is a businessman. He goes, he does all the geschäfts all over the place. And the people will interact, Jews and non-Jews. Tagre umot olam akum boim elatzot. The non-Jews will come and they want to do business with the Jewish businessman, with Zavulun. But who are made al asvar? He's there, al gavul Eretz Yisrael. He's on the boundary of Israel. He's standing there. And obviously there's some whatever interaction going on. But heim omrim. So people will say, we've made an effort to come and do business with the Jewish businessman up north, on the edge there, over there by Nahari or wherever. We're going to make a trip to Jerusalem. We heard about Jerusalem, not far to go. We're on our camels. you know, we're off, another couple of days, whatever. We'll see what's going on. What is it all about? We heard so many things about the temple in Jerusalem, let's go and check it out. This is the non-Jews. They see the Jews worshipping one God, monotheism. And they're all eating one type of, whatever, you know, maybe it means kosher. Lefisha akum elosh azeh lo kolosh azeh. With the non-Jews, that each God is different. Ma'acholosh azeh lo kamacholosh azeh. And they eat different foods, and they have different requirements. Maybe talk about the sacrifices to one God is different to the other. Whatever it is. Umid gahirim shav. The non-Jews will even be so taken with it that they'll even convert. There's an interesting midrash on this, that the sailors, in the story of Yonah, when they got back to land, they ran off to Jerusalem and they all became converts. And they were probably the fruest guys in the whole country because, you know, once you've been through that experience where the boat nearly sank, you know, you become very very religious, I would argue, and hopefully sustain religious as well. There's even a suggestion that they went off to Nineveh to warn the people that, you know, when they heard Yonah, that was his project, they wanted to tell the people, take this guy seriously. Right, we know that, you know, you don't mess with the Yonah HaNavi. And there's a whole interesting midrashic sort of sideline over there, what's going on. But we'll come back to this. Unbelievable. So again, they're with Zebulun, they've done their business, now they've travelled down to Jerusalem, they're so enamoured with it, they'll even consider converting. Shenema, as we are, seven lines down. Sham Yizku Zivke Tzedek, Akam L'Shonom. Kosav Shom Meshech Shonom. So Meshech Shonom, explain. This is exactly what Shlomo was doing, the prayer that we just read. But Gamala Nochri, Uba me Eretz Uchoka, the non-Jew comes from far away. Uba mitpalel abayit hazeh, kloma, shamim, hakavana, lumot olam. Ash shalom mitgarim, even if they're not yet converted, they're going to come to Jerusalem. V'zev del ben Yisrael, be Eretz Shivyam. When the Jews are in the exile, ki yitpalelu sham derech atzam. They pray there through their land. What does that mean? Klomar, Shabbi Yotam Benechai. Even if they're not in Israel, Yicholim Lechaven Et Filotem Derech Eretz Yisrael. We know we face Israel, Mizra. Hey Nanim, and we believe we're answered. Avla Nochri Mochrach Lava. On the one hand, he's got to come. He's got to be in Jerusalem. For us, Nanim, but then he's answered. Lechein Oma Amim Har, referring to the non-Jews going up to the mountain. They come to Mount Moriah. If they just can only get there. In other words, they can't go further than where they're allowed to go because they're all Tomei, and they wouldn't be allowed in to where the Jews can go. Last two lines. Etc. But it says they call out, you, Neni B'Tfilah. So there's two sources according to what we've read so far for Shlomo's Tfilah. So source number one comes from the story with Esau and Yaakov. Source number two comes from the bracha to Zvulun. That they came and while they're with Zvulun doing the business, they will then go up to Yerushalayim. And the suggestion is, this is what Shlomo understood from the blessing that they got, or from the pasuk that is mentioned with Zebulun, that they would go to the mountain, they would call to Hashem, and Hashem would answer their prayer. One problem is, the next section, I'm going to go through this very quickly, David HaMelech puts a wrench, a spanner in the works, which is to say in England, a monkey wrench, right? He throws in a problem. Look at section C, and this is very interesting. V'yesha hikshu, so this is very nice. Right? But we've got a bit of a problem. Al tefillat Shlomo zu. We've got a problem with this tefillah. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yaneh lebakashat Nachri, that God answers the request of the non-Jew. Mimah shebikesh David b'tefillato. We know there's a prayer of David. Chapter 22, the Shirat David. Yeshuo b'tehilim yudched. But it means the salvation. V'ein Moshiach. There's no savior. What does that mean? El Hashem v'lo anam. To God, and He has not answered them. So, what do those psukim mean? Pirshu Chazal b'Midrash. The Midrash says, next line, Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David says before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Kishiyu Mot Olam, Ovdei Kochavim, when the non-Jews, Ba'im Litba'el Fanecha, when they come to Davu, Al Tane Otam, don't listen to them. David was not happy with this arrangement whatsoever. He sort of saw through a lot of their, whatever they would try and show sincerity. And he says, no, these guys are not sincere. Firstly, they go off to their temple with a small t. They don't get a response from their God, right? As we know. They see they're in trouble. Then they're looking. They come to you. Therefore, don't just give them an answer and give an answer to their request. Their salvation, the aim Moshiach, has not saved them. So David was really unhappy with this. Shlomo, amazingly, right, has ignored what his father had said about non-Jews coming to the temple. And one assumes that Shlomo knew what his father had said. So how do we deal with this? Golovinches says at the bottom here, the last paragraph, but sorry for the chale, good yeshivish reproach, let's make a nafgamin. What's the difference? David's talking about the ones who are not sincere. They don't deserve the attention of God. They're not really coming to daven, they're just looking for freebies, right? Aval b'tfilat Shlomo. This is the heart of Shlomo's prayer. Shenema ba meretz rechoka, they come from far away. Leman shimcha ba vitpalu et bayit hazeh, they daven in this house. Kamo she'evenu le'el midivre meshechochma, she'rak b'tanai zeh, once they are that level of sincerity, Nema ba Torah v'nishna al-yidei Shlomo, it's repeated by Shlomo, k'loshen Rashi le'el, that's what Rashi is referring to as well. Shenityagati lekama drachim ubati palalti bo kedei shelo yikra tagan, they would have no complaint. Bikesh Shlomo shekodesh Baruch yishma tefilato v'yaneh lebakashato. Wow, I don't know about you guys. I read this and it gives me the shivers for obvious reasons, because they don't know this. You know, if they knew, then they would be lining up. Forget about,
they'd want to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash.
You want the Beit HaMikdash tomorrow. You know, you'd have Kabbalim lining up from all over the world. You wouldn't have to worry about, Moshe Yonkel's Kabbalim, his firm, somewhere in wherever.
Christians should know it. They
should know this. It's staggering. I mean, just read the Pesukim. This is all commentary on commentary, I understand. But in the Pesukim, it's very clear that Shlomo is saying to the non-Jew, come to Jerusalem, put in your petition and see what happens. And you know what? It may turn out much better than you think. We're having trouble with this, with the Houthis. Okay, so the Yemen guys go to the temple in Jerusalem, and the next thing you know, there's a coalition against the Houthis, or maybe they don't need a coalition, they just disappear, whoever they are, I'm not quite sure. But we're having trouble with them. So, I mean, what I'm saying? There is stuff, both on the big picture and on the small picture of countries and economies and who know, and it's all going to come from the Beit HaMikdash. And it's a wham. This is what Shlomo is davening, what he's saying at this particular moment. I leave this for your attention because it's so incredible. It is truly, truly incredible. Let me just set up the final point. I'm going to take you right to the end of the chapter. As I said, please read through the Pesukim. I'm sorry to sort of leave you with gaps, but I can't do it justice. You've got to read this for yourself. It's so beautiful. But the last point that I want to bring here, which I'm not going to go into now, but I'll leave you with the Mare Moko, is at the end, that Shlomo, after all of this extraordinary prayer that goes on, what does he do? Verse 65 is right at the end. Vayah Shlomo ba'itahi et achag. Shlomo then celebrates, makes the celebration of Chag, we understand, means Sukkot. Kol Yisrael Imo, Kal Gadol, the whole congregation is with him. Milavo Chamat Anacha Mitzrayim, always the idea of everybody, millions from all over Israel. Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu Shivat Yomim V'Shivat Yomim Abbas Yom. Bit of math going on here. 7 days and 7 days. And we'll see in a minute what Rashi says, when that is. By Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day, Shilach Et Ha'am Shmini Atzeret, which we know is not a good day for us, so at this time, at the moment, Shilach Et Ha'am, and on Shmini Atzeret, he didn't send them away to Yontem, but he gave them the message that, get ready to leave. By Yavorach Et HaMelech, they blessed the king. ויהלכו עליהם שמחים וטובי לב על כל הטובה שעשה השם לדוד עבדו ישראל המגן. It's always David, right? Which is always again going to be a theme as we go along. But just going to do the math. Rashi says over here, just to have a quick look. Rashi says, Shivat yomim chag ha-sukkot nimtza she'achlu v'shatu b'yom ha-kippur. Whoa, hang on. Let's work this out. If we go to the end, the 22nd of Tishrei, which is the last day when they're celebrating, Shmini Atzeret, you go back 14 days, do the math, you come to the 8th of Tishrei. 8th of Tishrei is the first period of 7 days of dedication of the temple. 8, 9, 10. Yom Kippur. So here's the scenario. You've got Am Yisrael, you've got the greatest Simchas Torah of celebration. It's Purim, Simchas Torah, all rolled into one, with every yeshiva boy's dream, you know, sort of unbelievable simcha going on. And in walks the gabbai. It's now, he looks at his watch, and it's coming up to Shkia on the 9th of Tishrei, and it clapped on the tish, it makes a noise on the table. Rabbi Yisai, Chamesh Takot, Kol Nidre. Is that really going to happen? Think about it. Is the owner going to turn around and say, oh, God, well, you know, here we're having the greatest party in the world, and we're having the greatest celebration, and it's a spiritual celebration. It's an incredible event going on here. It's an amazing, uplifting moment in Jewish history, and the Gabbai wants us to do Kol Nidre, rid of the equivalent of whatever they would have done.
Yeah, they kept going.
They kept going. Right, yes.
You're comparing the Judaism of the base of Mikdash with the Judaism of...
Correct. What I'm saying is that, you know, when you're in the midst of anything like this, the thought that they would just stop Yom Kippur and then everything.
But the Yom Kippur we have is not really the Yom Kippur that the Torah describes or that the.
But it was a fast.
The Gemara describes.
Correct, but it's certainly a fast. And here they're partying. They're really partying. Yeah. The bottom line of this is that there's amazing machloket on this whole subject. And again, I can't go through this now because I'm done on my time, but have a look at the Radak. Right? Who is the Radak? Rabbi Kimchi, very, very famous rabbi of the between 1100 and 1200. I've forgotten his dates. Interesting man because he lived in Provence. Right? What makes him interesting by living in Provence, apart from the fact that, you know, he's French, I guess, but more to the point, he gets the influences both from the Germanic school on one side, Rashi and people coming from that world, and he also has the Spanish influence as well. Putting it all together, the Radak is unbelievably amazing. Mitzvah Hashem for next week. Bit of homework. Ayin Shom. In the meantime, think about this Tefillah of Shlomo. Pilei Pilaim. Unbelievable Tefillah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening.